Several years ago, I was praying. I prayed since then, but I did pray several years ago. And as I was praying, Lord, give me a concept. And I don't know that I've ever preached this before, but I had to work on it to receive it. Sometimes God gives you something, and when he gives it to you, there's a part you have to do. You have to participate. You have to work on it. Sometimes you even have to practice what it is. And the concept that God gave me was the grasshopper complex. Never preached this before. Some of you are already knowing about the grasshoppers in the Bible. You already understand it. Hang on, I'm going to give you some new revelation. I found the story in the book of Numbers. Israelites had left Egypt. Been in prison 400 years or so, whatever. And God set them free with Moses. And they had the failure zone. While they were in captivity, they lived in constant failure. Do you sometimes think that you live in constant failure? Bills come. They don't get cheaper. They keep telling them the milk's going up and the bread's going down or whatever. But many times we live in a failure zone and we don't know nothing about it. The nation of Israel lived in this failure zone. They were captive. They were told when to sleep, when to drink, when to eat. Their whole life was consumed by the Egyptians on what to do and what to say and where to be. They were in the failure zone. Now, families get in the failure zone because they don't grow in the things of God. Someone say amen, because that was really good. You got to help me here. You just can't sit there, okay? So when I go like this, you have to say amen. We're going to talk. We're going to work on this, you know. Moses was the leader. God called him and says, I want you to go get my people out of trouble and bring them to the promised land. The promised land was Canaan. The promised land was the success zone. And in other words, God says, there's victory for you there. There's not victory for you here. Sometimes we have to move from a failure zone to assess zone to hear what God's saying. Come on, church. Now listen, I know what Greg does, but I like amens. Try it.
Amen.
They're helping you, okay? He's going to be mad at me for a week now. Okay. Canaan is a symbol of a lot of dreams, a lot of goals, a place of victory. It is success territory. Say it with me. Success territory. You and I and the children of God should be awesome 24 hours a day, living in the zone of success. I am sick and tired of Christians being whipped on. She shook her head. She agreed with me. Did you hear me? I'm tired of the enemy coming into households and causing pain, agony, and defeat. We are children of the Most High God. The anointing of God is upon us. He called us to be overcomers, not undercomers. You hear me? You're called to be overcomers, not a penny-waste, puny, little nobody. You're somebody, you like that, huh? You're somebody in the kingdom of God. I'm going to preach right here all the rest of the day. So stay with me. I want to move to the success zone. I want to move to the success zone. Moving out of failure is a good thing. Moving to success is a better thing, okay? Abraham dreamed of a son named Isaac. Did he have a son named Isaac? Come on, you theologians, talk to me. Say yes. I got somebody over there with action. Okay, hang on, I'll be right over there. Joseph had a dream of becoming the prime minister. Did Joseph make it that job? Prime minister? Nod your head. Okay. You're doing good. Solomon wanted to build a temple. Did Solomon build a temple? To answer some of these questions, you have to read the Bible. Say yes. Okay. We're going to get there. Every man, every woman should have some sort of goal. God intended us to have them. God don't want anybody to stay status quo. Do you hear me? God wants to move you, even from the mountain down here or from here up to the mountain. But God wants you to move to his goals that he set in your life. Are you too old for gold? There's three no's, four no's? No. Did you hear that? The elders of the church said, you're not too old to have goals. So therefore, we need to have some godly goals in our life to be headed somewhere. Say it with me. I need to go somewhere. You can't leave church, the door's locked, so hang on. You know the story that's in Numbers about Moses and the 12 spies, right? Say yes, please. Okay, Moses sent these 12 spies into Canaan to check it out. Say, check it out. Check it out. So he told the 12 spies, one from each nation, he says, go and check it out. Did the 12 spies go to check it out? Yes. What did they find? One, they found a land of milk and honey. How does milk and honey work? Have you ever had milk and honey? Anybody? Anybody ever had milk and honey? Have you? And with that milk and honey, they saw man, the land was rich with milk, honey, milk, and these. They seen a lot of these. They wanted a lot of these. They seen this. Here, you can have some. See, you thought you was coming to church and getting nothing, but you got a handful of grapes. But they saw something else in the land. All the spies saw the same thing, but 10 of the spies saw something else. You know what they saw? What? Giants. In other words, this is a good place. It's got food. It's got water. It's got milk. It's got honey. It's got all this good stuff. But there's something bad here, and they're called giants. Now, I am not a giant. Can you say that? You got to help me out a little bit here. They're picking on me today. So, understand this. They saw all the good stuff. But the 10 spies came back, and they forgot all that they saw except one thing. They saw giants in the land. Whenever God's moving you from failure to success, you have to understand you're going to see some things you didn't see before. You're going to experience some things you didn't experience before. You're going to have to do things you didn't do before. You're going to have to move from failure zone to success zone to see God move in what you need moved at. Someone say amen. I like you helping me a little bit here. So the 10 spies came back with the report. The report is everything's good there except there are giants. Think about it. God will not move you from the failure zone to the success zone unless he knows that you're going to be ready for the battle. Come on, church. There's things you're going to have to do. There's no such thing as status quo. What? Flow. Okay. Clo? Flow. You guys have English problems. I can tell. Two of the spies, Caleb and Joseph, had a good report. They seen the giants. They seen the milk and honey. They seen all the good stuff there. But they also measured in them was the amount of faith beyond the giants. Come on. When you move to that new zone, you're going to face some giants. Understand? But you are not to lay down and die, but to get stronger in the Lord and do what the God tells you to do so that you can handle the giants. Come on, church. We can't lay down and play dead. We can't lay down and say, it'll be. What will be. Did I say it right? You two got to help me more. Would you talk to them? So, here they are, headed to the new land. Here it is, 12 spies went out. 10 of them said, we can't do this. 2 of them says, we can. I ask you this morning, whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe regularly in your life? Whose report are you going to take? That's the truth. Whose report are you going to take is a real report from God? You have to decide. You have to study the Word. You have to be willing to let the Word work in you. You got to be willing to work on your faith element, because God has called you for greater things. You know this already, I'm going to tell you, but it's just the peon part of it, but God's got you for greater things. Did you know that of Him? Just because you're a wife, you don't have to agree with me. But God has him for greater things. This is just a stepping stone. But to do the greater things, he's got to willing sometimes to step out. To go to that land, go to that place that he's never been before. Your faith, my faith, our faith, the church faith, requires us to go someplace we ain't gone before. And when we get to that other place, what are we going to see? We're going to see the good, and we're going to see giants. Either you stop going, stop living, stop doing, or you say, giants, you cannot be bigger than my God. Church, we've got to come to the place that we recognize our God is bigger than any giant. We've got to come to the place that we're willing to say, God, you called me here for a time and a place like this. Now let's do it. Did you hear that word? Let's do it. Am I okay? You want to go further? Okay, we'll go further. Thank you. Faith is not ignoring the obvious. Some people think that if they recognize a problem or situation, they are admitting doubt. Just because you have issues in your life don't mean that you don't love God. Doesn't mean that you're not trying to serve God. Doesn't mean that God has no place for you. All it means is someplace in you there is some doubt, and you're not taking the Word of God, apply it to that doubt. Is that pretty good? I don't know how he does this. So you, I, we, us, we have to be willing to apply faith over the doubt, so the doubt becomes smaller and faith becomes larger. We have to do something about it. We have to do something that God tells us to do in order for our faith to move up. Could the Israelites do any more if they stopped right there in their trip? I mean, if they didn't go no more in Canaan land, what else could they do? What would they do? Go back to Egypt? Now hear me. There are some people and there are some churches that wants you and I to go back to Egypt and live in bondage. Are you hearing me? There are people that are Christians, I think, that want us to be in bondage instead of walking in the freedom that God's given us. And the devil will tell you that God's not going to help you to stop you in your steps. That's good stuff. You need to say amen. Stella, talk a little bit. Amen. So, in Israel, kind of had a funny idea. They're in a new place, new things. Now, can I tell you this? A church can't stay status quo. Did you know that? It won't live. It'll die. It only stays status quo if the people stop using their faith. If people stop doing what God tells them to. If people just say, well, we'll come. Ken will get up there and sing three songs. Then the pastor will say something. Then he'll tell us to sit down. And then we go home. That's status quo. So, 1 Thessalonians, you got that? 1 Thessalonians, whatever that place is. You got it? He ain't got it. The disciple is talking here. Like I know that. You know what he's saying? He's saying, our steps are being blocked by the enemy. Let me tell you, I don't care what church it is or where you go, the enemy is going to try to block your steps. The enemy is going to try to paralyze you to keep you going and being what God's called you to be. And Paul says this, guess what? The enemy has hindered us and tried to stop us. Sheila, has the hi, good wake up. That's good. Has the enemy tried to stop you? Lots of time. And what happened? Did he stop you? Something you did. You have to recognize it. Okay. That's the word I wanted out of you. You have to recognize that the opposition against you is either God saying no or the devil saying no. Would God say no to you to do something good for you? He wouldn't, would he? He wants to bless you and you. He wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your household. So if something negative is coming, it's not coming from God. It's coming from the devil. The Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. What does he want to destroy? You? We vote, he picks on you. No, we vote, he picks on you. The enemy wants to stop you from being what God wants you to be. God wants to stop Cliff Terrace from being the church it needs to be. Right here, you can say amen. I may have a grape pretty soon. Okay, 1 Peter 5, chapter 8, verse. 1 Peter 5, 8. In Matthew 4, Jesus says, Satan did exist. Satan did have a power. Did we get it? Be alert and sober. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. What does that mean? What does that mean? Looking for someone to devour. I can't hear you. What? He can't hear you over there. Say it again. Roaring lion looking someone to devour. Who said that? Okay, say it again louder. To destroy our lives. In other words, he's looking for somebody that will let him come in to their residence, their house, their home, their body, and destroy them. He wants to destroy them. Why? Why does the enemy want to destroy you? That guy back there can't hear you. You're going to say it again louder.
Keep me from enjoying the pleasures of God.
Absolutely. Keep you from growing, being who God called you to be. His whole job is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the word says. God's whole job is to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. He wants to give you more life than you've got, because what you got is not enough life for you to carry on. Does that make sense?
Amen.
I got these three ameners over here, so I'm doing good. Okay. See, I'm used to Wednesday night. It's kind of a strange thing. Now, we try to ignore cancer, don't we? Don't we? We try to ignore financial bondage. We do. We try to ignore marriage problems. It doesn't dissolve just because we ignore it. Do you hear me? Your marriage problem, cancer, and all this will not go away just because you say, there ain't no such thing as cancer. Well, there is. Well, there ain't no such thing as divorce. Well, there is. Why are you denying these things? These things are out there. They're all around us. What we need to do is declare God's word over those things so those things can't put us in bondage. Does that make sense? Did you like that? Did that work for you? Okay. You must sometimes admit something before you can confront it successfully. I got called when I was an electrician to Baldor Electric. You know where that's at? They called me in and they says, this whole part of the building isn't working. What can you do? I said, I don't know until I look. And I walked around and looked, and this panel had no power, this panel had no power, this panel. So I started tracing it back. So I had a supervisor, Baldor, I don't remember his name. He says, what do you think the problem is? He says, it's in that room. He said to me, he says, how do you know there's a problem in that room? I said, because I'm an electrician. You don't buy that either, do you? He didn't buy it. So he says to me, no, really, really, really. I like it when people say really, don't you? Don't that excite you when they say really? He says, really? How do you know? I said, because I think that's a generator room. It's got a generator in it. transformer and all that stuff in it. And he looks at me and he says, how do you know that? I said, because there's vents on the door. He said to me, he said, do you want to look in it? I said, if you want this fixed, I got to look in it. Now, the guy was thinking that he was smarter than me. I don't know if he had God or not, but I had God. So him being smarter than me didn't work. So he finally opened up the door. We looked in the room, and there's a big transformer in there, a huge transformer, and it's not buzzing. I mean, you know that transformers buzz, don't they? Thank you for your help. So I walked over to the transformer, opened up the disconnect, put my meter on. I says, you have no power going out from this. This is hurting your whole building. Well, I don't believe it. What do you want me to do? Call your boss. So I called my boss. He came down. We met. So this time, now, instead of one Baldor supervisor, I got four standing right there. And what are they doing? They're telling me I'm wrong. Now, you can't tell a man of God he's wrong. Right? Oh, that's right. So my boss came in with his meter, just like my meter. He puts his meter on it. He measures. And he says, this transformer is dead. And the generator that runs this transformer is also dead. Now the guy's getting madder. He's getting upset. Then another Baldor boss came in. Now I had five. Can you believe Bill Collins had five Baldor bosses? High death. Me. So they came. And the last boss came. I guess he had power. He says, now what's wrong here? How come we're not running this line? What's going on here? And the first supervisor said, well, this guy said that we have no power. But I don't believe him. And the boss who makes the money at Baldor, he says, why don't you believe him? He says, because I think it's okay. And the guy stands, he walks over and puts his ear to the transformer. He says, there's no sound. That should tell you something. And then he says this to the guy. He says, what do I pay you? He said, what do you mean? How come I pay you so much money? The guy says, what do you mean? You can't do your job. I said, wait a minute, hold it, guys. I didn't come to get nobody fired. I came because there's a problem. Hear me. The Holy Spirit comes because there's a problem. The Holy Spirit comes to handle stuff. The Holy Spirit comes to give you strength, give you power, give you authority. The Holy Spirit comes to take you from where you're at now to where you need to be. These Baldor guys didn't want me to get there. Or they didn't want to get there. I'll tell you the end of the story real quick. So the boss above the boss above the boss showed up because his plant is not making no money. And he walks up to me, didn't walk up to my boss. He walked up to me. He says, you're Bill? I said, yes. Sometimes you want a different name, don't you? So he shows up and he says, tell me what's wrong. I says, your transformers went to ground. You have no power on this side of the building. And he looked at the supervisor and looked at the other supervisors. He says, how come nobody called me? They said, well, we really didn't believe him. And I got this. Well, he's an electrician. So I received accommodation from this guy. He says, what are you going to do about it? And my boss is standing there. He says, well, I guess we're going to have to order your transformer or have one built or something. How many days is that going to take? 3 weeks? We can't have 3 weeks. We've got to have 1 week. And my boss says, well, we'll do what we can. If we can do it, we'll do it. Now hear me. The Holy Ghost never tells you that. God never tells you that. He is a God that's on the job and willing to handle the situation as the situation is there. He's not to make excuses. He's not to put you outside and say, no, I'll do it later. He is there to help you. Needless to say, a week and a half, I put a new transformer in Baldor, and they invited me out to dinner. So I got food out of it. A sinner cannot be converted if they don't recognize they got a problem. You didn't get saved just because you thought you were saved. You got saved because you had a need in your life, and God answered that need. Do you hear me? The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes into those who really are empty. Now, I don't know if you're Baptist, Catholic, or I really don't care what you are. But I'm telling you that the church world today needs more of the baptism of the Holy Spirit than they ever did before. We need discernment of the Spirit. We need to know and be able to tell who's lying, who's not lying. I needed the Holy Spirit right there dealing with these Valdor inspectors or supervisors or whatever they were. Because they weren't believing nothing I was saying, but I had the license. Now let me tell you, children of God, you have the license. You have the credentials. You either use them or you don't use them. How do you use them? Sickness has got a name. And the Bible says it has to bow a knee. Do you hear me? Things out of order can be put in order because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is at work. But if you don't use it, it don't work. Okay, you don't know this. Many of you people don't come Wednesday nights. But on Wednesday night, I tell everybody how I hate that clock. Now I'm telling you again, I hate it more than ever before. What was the difference in the 12 spies? You had 10 spies only seeing the bad. You had 2 spies that seen the land and wasn't worried about the giants. Come on. What are you? Are you a giant slayer or you're a panty beast? Did I say that right? I did. I shouldn't have said it on. Some of you are going to tell him when he gets back, right? Maybe the most powerful things I'm going to say today is this. The 10 were giant conscious. In other words, all they seen was the giants. So I have to ask you, what are you seeing in your life? Are you seeing giants? Are giants talking to you? Is giants trying to keep the prophet with his mouth shut? Like how I did this, huh? Is the giants trying to keep you out of your place that you belong? Is giants trying to remove you from your position? Now hear me. No one can remove you from your position but you. Only you. God called you for a place in a time like this. Why? Because you have a position in the kingdom of God. Say it with me. I have a place. Say it again. I have a place. Okay, I'm going to stop pretty soon. Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones. Did you see the size of those grapes? Did you see the size of these grapes? Look at these size. I had somebody buy these for me. Come at you. Now I'm really in trouble. Thanks. I can't throw them left-handed. But Joshua and Caleb says these giants were nothing. They're there, okay. We're serving a God that honors us. Come on. We're serving a God that don't miss nothing. We're serving a God that knows how to handle giants. Who are you, are we serving? God that can handle giants, absolutely. Food for thought. You'll never reach the palace by acting like a peasant. You'll never reach the things of God if you keep acting, poor me. Had a lady come to my church one time, and she says, in front of everybody, she says, I want to talk to you, Pastor. Do you know how serious that sounds? When someone comes and he says, I want to talk to you, Pastor. I thought maybe she had a gun. She says, I am so unworthy. I don't deserve anything. I've been bad when I was a teenager. I was bad when I wasn't a teenager. I was bad when I was married 4 times, but I was bad. I kind of believed her. 4 times married, she'd probably be bad. So she says, what do you think? I says, do you think that God created you? And she says, well, yeah. I said, do you think that God creates trash? She looked at me and she says, are you calling me trash now? You know when women get serious, their voice changes, right? He knows that too. He's shaking his head a lot. You know that too? Yeah. Oh, the quietness I hate. Loud mouth I can understand. So she says, What do you mean? I says, are you created by God or not? And she says, yeah, I guess so. I said, that's problem number one. You're guessing. Hear me. You guess about things that you shouldn't guess about. If God created me, I'm going to say God created me. If God owns the cows on 1,000 hills, I'm going to say God owns the cows on 1,000 hills. If the word says by his stripes I'm healed, guess what? I'm healed. I don't sit back and say, oh, maybe it could be. If God wants to do it, he can do it. That's garbage. By his stripes we are healed. Why do you think he took a whipping for you? So you and I and us and the church can be healed. We don't have to live in this place of sickness. Come on, church. We don't have to stay in this place of lack. We don't have to stay in this place without, because God's got a better plan. Get with his plan. Understand his plan. There's another grape on the floor. Probably going to have them all over the church. But winners, hear me, winners talk about opportunities. Oh, if you're not coming on Wednesday night, you should come on Wednesday night. They got a great teacher. I didn't make you feel bad enough yet. Winners talk about opportunities. Losers talk about disease. My wife has this problem. She fell off the porch. That's not why she's not here today. My wife has this problem. She hates to have dinner and talk with people who all they talk is disease. Do you know those kind? You don't carry on a conversation with them. They tell you what disease they have. They tell you the side effects of the disease, how many pills they take a day, how they haven't worked, how the doctor don't care, how the hospital don't care. And it goes on and on and on and on. That person will never walk in the winner's circle because they're cursing themselves. They've declared with their own mouth what is. Did that make sense? Did you hear me? I'm going to say it one more time. They're declaring, that person's declaring the way things are to be because they're using the confession of their mouth. Sickness is always me and I'll always have it. My mommy had it. My daddy had it. My uncle had it. My sister Sally had it. Everybody had it, so I got it. Stupid people. Dumb, aren't they? Don't say you got it when you don't got it. Don't say you got it when you got it. How's that? Use the stripes of Jesus. Use what the Word of God says, and that's what you'll see. But confess what you've got and all the things with it. You're going to own it. Okay, I'm going to stop. The Bible looks like a picture. How's that for describing? It gives you a picture of God. It tells you about God, but also gives you a picture of the devil. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God comes to have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Which picture are you watching? You know, somebody told me earlier in the service, I won't tell you who it is, but this is what this person kind of said to me, and I won't tell you who it is, but this person is kind of a woman, and she told me, she says, what's wrong is people are watching the wrong things on television at home, and it's putting them in bondage. I'm not telling you who said it, but they said that to me because we were talking about you. We're talking about the church. We don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to live without. God has more than enough for us. God has a more than enough for us if we want it. Do you want it? You want it all, huh? Me and you are partners. We want it all. Okay. I wrote this down. You will accept one of the three possibilities of evaluation for your life. Number one, what you think about yourself. What do you think about yourself? Handsome. Tall, powerful. Why are you laughing? I didn't ask you what you think of me. I said what I think of me. I am more than an overcomer through Christ Jesus. And saying, I empty the church. I mean, all these talents that I have. Some of you are not agreeing with me. I don't know why. So what do you think of yourself? What do you? He thinks he's not a good catcher, or I'm a bad thrower, because he missed a bunch of grapes. But have you ever thought of it? Number two, what Satan thinks about you? Why is that important? What Satan thinks about you? There's a many churches out there today in this world that doesn't do any preaching on Satan. I don't know why. Dumb, huh? Was you going to say that already? Yeah. No? Yes? Tell me something. I'll never get this job again, will I? I'll tell you what Satan thinks about you. The word says he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he thinks about you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to do damage to you, do it to your family. And as you allow him to do it, he'll do it. Come on, church. If we, the church, don't stand up and say, Satan, you're not allowed in my house. You're not allowed in my wife. You're not allowed in my kids. You're not allowed in me. You're not allowed in my church. Come on. At some point, we, the church, has to stand up and tell the enemy where to go. At some point in the church, we've got to be more mouthy about God than we're mouthy about Satan. At some point, we, the church, has to stand up and say, we declare victory. We're not losers. Come on, church. We're not rolling over and playing dead. We're standing up against you. We're stopping you. We want healing. We want deliverance. We want the joy of the Lord. He sung that song, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What do we want? Are you Pentecostal? Or are you, I don't know what you are. What are you? Yeah? Did you shake your head? Then what we want is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Have you asked lately? Have you said, God, Cliff Terrace needs an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We don't want anything else. We want an outpouring. We want to see the days when they take off running around the church. Some of you aren't that old. We want to see the days when you get slayed in the Spirit and you lay there for hours and no one bothers you. You're just rejoicing in the Lord. Are these things possible? Absolutely. But do we want them? Do we want them? Then in your prayer time, start asking. Let's bombard heaven and tell God, we want your anointing. We want the Holy Spirit. We want the power. We want the authority. We want the moving of the Holy Ghost. We want to see signs and wonders. We're hungry for those things. We don't want nothing else but what you want for us. But we don't ask enough, I don't think, or receive it enough. Okay, I'm going to stop in just a minute. I'm close. Have you ever heard of the first church of grasshoppers? Have you? Have you ever heard of it? They're there. The first church of grasshoppers. They are. My assistant at work, she went fishing. She had grasshoppers. Blue Mountain. Last weekend. She went. And she came. I said, well, did you catch any fish? She said, no. I put the grasshopper on the hook. And I throw it out there. Instead of swimming down, it swim up. I said, what do you mean? She says, it wouldn't stay in the water. I said, why? Because you was trying to kill it? She said, probably. I wanted a crappie or bass or any catfish or anything. But she said, that silly grasshopper kept coming up. And I put two grasshoppers on one hook. She said, that's hard to do. And I cast it out there. And then they had twice the power. I'm guessing that they're from the church of the grasshoppers because they know a key secret. Where two are gathered together in my name, there I am. One can put 1,000 fly, two can put 10,000. Are you listening to me? Am I? Are you paying? Should I stop? Everybody's looking at you. Okay. 1st Church of the Grasshoppers. I'm nothing. I'm unworthy. That's what that lady told me. She said, I'm nothing. I am unworthy. I said, guess what? God created you. Stop trying to be. We get humble mixed up all the time. I get so sick of people trying to be humble. Don't you? Well, if I don't want to do, I don't want to say that about God because I'm being humble. What do you mean you're being humble? You're being sickening. You're being stupid. The blessings and the provisions God said amen to. Either I take them and receive them or I don't take them and receive them. I decide. God says, I've made them available to you. You either take them or you don't take them. You either receive them or you don't receive them. But they're there. I don't know about you, but I want blessings. I don't know about you, but I want money.
You would think they'd say amen, wouldn't you?
I'm going to say it. I want money. Pulling teeth, I guess, huh? So I realized something. God wants me to have money too. God wants me healthy. God wants me cuter than I am. I don't know how he does it, you know. You guys are pretty tough. Say it with me out loud. I have the mind of Christ. Every day you need to start confessing that I have the mind of Christ. And God's got good things for us. Every day. A few weeks ago, I went to a pity party. I went to a pity party. You ever been to a pity party? Have you? I'm going to just talk to you because these other people don't know nothing. At my pity party, there was nobody but me. I'm talking. So I went to this pity party that I only invited me. And I was on the back porch. I think Deborah had an idea I was at a pity party. For hours, she didn't come out and say nothing. No iced tea, no Coke. So I'm at this pity party, just me. So I'm telling God. Can you imagine that? I'm telling God. I'm going to say that again. Can you imagine that? I'm telling God all the things that's not happening. He's laughing over there on the other side of the church. I'm talking to you. He's eavesdropping. So I kept telling God, Cliff Terrace is not moving where I want it to move. There's Mary, and look what Mary's doing. And there's that other lady, and that other lady, and you're just not doing nothing, God. And for an hour and a half, I'm telling God, Bill Collins, is telling God the things he should know. Don't tell me you've never done that. I told God the things that he should be doing, and he sat there for an hour and a half. I'm sure he was there on my back porch, listening. We got a golden doodle. The golden doodle laid down beside me for an hour and a half on the porch. We got a standard poodle. He laid on the other side, and neither dog moved for an hour and a half. They didn't go to the bathroom. They didn't chase a bone. They didn't chase the miniature dachshund. They just sat there. And I kind of thought later on, I says, those dogs are smarter than I am. They were sleeping while I'm having this pity party, just me. And this went on for an hour and a half. And you say, how do you know? Well, I've got a clock on my phone. You didn't catch it. So finally, I says, God, what am I going to do? And this is what God said to me. He said, stop feeling sorry for your place and move from that place. And I said to God, why do I have to move? Why don't you move? He says, because I'm God. And he says, I'm not required to. You are required to. I looked all around the yard. I didn't hear no voices. I didn't see nothing. But I knew it was God. Then one more voice came up. And he said to me, he says, knock it off. How spiritual God is. He said, knock it off. Then about that time, I think Deborah hears him all the time. About that time, Deborah comes out, you want a Coke? I said, yeah, how come you didn't brought me one before? Because I was letting God beat you up. I said, well, he did a good job. Now, hear me. I could have stayed in that pity party and really be nothing. Or I could have said, enough is enough. It's time for me to rise up. Church, I'm telling you, we got to stop putting up with what we put up with and start rising up. We got to come here with a joyous the rejoicing, praising God, glorifying God, and leave that other junk out the door. Come on, church. There's times that we, the church, needs to be the church of power, the church of authority, the church that knows God loves them, a church that knows that God's going to work with them, a church that knows God's going to teach them and show them. A church that is understanding God is a church with power. I don't know what you want to be. I'll tell you months ahead if I ever preach again, so that you know you can be here early. Your words, my words, decide our future. Do you understand that? Your words, my words, decide our future. Either I'm in positive agreement with what God's word says, or I'm not. If his word says and his word does says, by his stripes I heal, I receive that healing. I said, well, my mama was sick, my daddy was sick, they had this, and I guess I'm going to have it. Bull! Baloney! What do you want to call it? Junk. Change your mouth so the blessings of God can flow in your life and in your house. How many wants a cursed house? Raise your hand. You guys don't follow orders very well. How many people want a blessed house? Absolutely. Thank you. That's what we want. Then why don't we have? Or we do have and we don't know it. Or we want it, but we don't know how to say it. Or we don't declare it. We don't acknowledge it. Okay, I'm going to stop. Okay. I wrote this down. Grasshopper's reaction to the greeting. How are you? Don't you love it to come to church and somebody walks up to you and shakes your hand and says, how are you? Well, I had a headache for 4 years. My nose aches. Left ear's got some problems. I'm taking medicine for the ear, but I ain't got none for my nose yet. And you're telling all this stuff to this person just to say, how are you? And the person's saying, I wish I'd never asked you. Well, we should be asking, how do you want to be? Well, I don't want my nose to ache. I don't want my ear to ache. I want the things of God. But have you or are we making the right decisions at the right time? Is the church saying that we want the things of God? Or what are we saying? What's the prophet saying? Are they saying, you want it? You don't ask. The Bible says this. You, kind of pointed to you, kind of you. You have not because you didn't ask. Does that make sense? He don't ask, does he? Not too much. Even your mom's shaking her head at me. Ask them for $100 after church. Say the preacher said, right? You have not because you asked not. Church, if we're not going to ask, we're not going to get, okay? I'm going to close this. I keep trying to, but I walk back over here. Grasshoppers have the tendency to talk about bad things all the time. They don't know no good things. They say people don't understand them. Have you ever tried to understand a grasshopper? Some people are like grasshoppers. You can't understand them. The grasshopper stands in front of the group of people and saying, I am a failure to myself and to you. A grasshopper is constantly talking about their lack. Why do we do that, church? Can you answer me, Mary? Why do we talk? You live on a mountain. There should be no lack. Everything's below you. There should be no lack. I'm just basic physics, right? Is it physics? You live up on the mountain, you're not down there. Because you live on the mountain, you're up there. Is there a place that we can live, that we can be happy, we can have the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord? Yes, there is. Any place, it's available. The grasshopper doesn't know what's good for him and don't know what's good for him. I'm going to close. I know I said that. Now, I'm going to say this, and I think Greg said it 2 months or 5 months ago. Maybe we, the church, need to pick better friends. I know she's saying amen to me, though she's not moving her mouth or much of her head. Did you hear me? There are friends that are a curse. There are friends that wants to put you down. There are friends that work for Satan. There, I said it. Did you like it? Okay, thank you. There are friends who are sent by Satan to kill, steal, and destroy you. You, I, we, the church, have to determine who we friend and who we don't befriend. Who we allow to come in our house, who we don't allow to come in our house. Are you hearing me? You say, this ain't a good preacher thing. No, it's going to make enemies, right? Say yes. Say no. Don't say nothing. We have to determine who we're going to befriend. I'm not saying you don't give the gospel. I'm not saying you don't pray for people. I'm not saying it at all. But I'm telling you, you have to judge your friends because your friends are not always friends. She said amen, I think. Okay. Teddy, come and do your thing. Don't ever think that you come to one of my services that you don't get something. Everybody's going to get a grape. I'm just telling you. Enter the world of winners. Come on, church. Let's enter the world of winners. Okay? Let's make a decision. Today. What date is this? January? March. March what? Third. Hey, I should know that because 2 days ago I had a 56-year anniversary. Can you believe Deborah put up with me 56 years? I know, I'd clap too. 56 years she's put up with this. I can't tell these people what you just said. She's cracking up. She's going to fall off the seat and hurt herself. I can't believe that. No defense. I'm going to close. Dare to believe God for a new mentality. Stinking thinkings make stinking action. Godly actions make godly decisions. Dare to be positive about your life. Dare to step up about the things of God. I told him to wash his hands, but he didn't do it. So. Dare to say, I was there, but I'm not going to be there no longer. Dare to acknowledge that God's in control and you're not. Dare to believe God's got great things for you. Dare believe God's going to prosper you. How many wants money? Well, let's pray for it right now. Father, you've seen the hands raised. You've seen some people that broke arms. They can't raise it. But God, we ask you to touch those that want money. We're asking you to open the windows of heaven, the banks, whatever it may be, wherever it may come, family, kids, or whatever. I ask for finances to be increased in this body of believers in the name of Jesus. That's what you do. That's what you do. When you have a need, you pray. When you have a need, ask her to pray. When you have another kind of need, ask her to pray. And if you have no needs at all, don't ask them to pray. Now hear me. God wants to bless his church. God, I talked to somebody this morning. God wants all the gifts working in the church. The pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, the prophets, all of them. God wants that. Why? Because God wants to bless you. Is that okay? Are you enjoying the grapes? Are they nice? Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Father, we do want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We do want the anointing to take place here. And Father, we do want to be used what you called us to be used as and be what you called us to be. Father, I'm asking you, encourage, lift up the mentality, change the thinking of this body of believers, that we can see the wonders all around us and how that you're touching us and touching lives. God, we ask for the anointing to flow in the mighty name of Jesus. Every service is going to be filled with the anointing from you. Touch lives, change families, change finances, and we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Is that all I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to do. Guys are standing in the back, want money. So they need money, so give them money. God bless you. Have a great week.